something you can do.
Radio.
And declare you are well able to.
Oh, this is wonderful. Ione, thank you so very much. Welcome to my investing story. Again, my name is Ann McMillan. I am the Master Wealth Builder here with my awesome co-host, Ms. Ione McMillan, the Baby Billionaire, and we are volunteers with another awesome organization entitled Better Investing. We have decided to bring to you every week on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, a special person, a regular person. They're special, but they're just a regular person like every one of us who is investing and at all different levels, because we want to encourage you that you too can invest right where you are. Again, we're volunteers with Better Investing, and Better Investing is a not-for-profit 501c3 organization. And it has helped over 5 million individuals from its inception, people from all walks of life, just like you and just like me. And the organization provides unbiased investment education and powerful investment tools for the purpose of education. And so with that being said, I want to introduce to you shortly after this information you're going to hear, but we want to introduce to you our special guest tonight, Mr. Sunless D. Martin Jr. And with that being said, we're going to play a short clip for you, and then the next voice you hear will be none other than Ms. Ione McNeil. All right, Ione, ready when you are. Ione, can you hear the volume, please?
Diana,
we're not here.
Milwaukee Fellows is our next honorable mention. Michael Heiler led that group, and I am sure I can see his name in front of me. So, Michael, tell us about your experience.
I had a great experience with the game. As I spoke with Mr. Wynn about, I knew nothing about trading or investing. I never really had too much money to play with. I only had like a little bit of emergency money and bill money, but I never had money to play with. So I got into this game 2 weeks in because we had to switch up our advisors, and I started doing a lot of homework, like listening to the orientation, just all the meetings, and it was very interesting. And it was so interesting that I actually started investing. Within this game, but researching the products, seeing what's hot, what's not, how different products affect the market, what's going on in the world, how things affect that, what you want to invest in, and just meeting with the guys and just trying to balance out the aggressive investors with the passive aggressive investors, and just seeing how the guys think and bouncing ideas off of each other. It was a great experience for me and my guys. Definitely think it's a great tool going forward, just to keep African American males or just anybody in general that's young on the right side of debt.
Is there someone for your team you want to say something?
Yes, I have Mr. Noah Cotton. He was our president. And Mr. Cotton, you can go ahead and take it away, sir.
Hello, everybody. So first off, I just want to thank everybody for giving us the opportunity to participate. This is just something that I feel strongly about, is giving us youth an outlet to get involved with. So just a little about myself before I speak about the game is that I'm going to be a rising freshman at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. It's just so fitting that my major will be finance. So I'm double majoring in international business and finance. And so when the Milwaukee Fellows reached out to me and asked me, did I want to be a part of the game, this was a no-brainer. And I automatically said yes. And so some things that I'll talk about our strategy. Everybody else talks about, what they liked of the game. So a little strategy that we had going into the game is you know, we kind of looked at, as a collective group, we looked at what was going on in the United States, and we wanted to invest around that. And so I'll say our best investment of the stock market game was investing in Moderna, which is one of the companies that's working on the vaccine for the coronavirus. And they're currently in phase three, which is, you know, the most in-depth in the United States. And so we end up getting into Moderna when their stock was $56. And if I remember correctly, I think we bought about 200 shares of that. And then it went on to be, it went from $56 when we bought it, and the highest it got was $91. And so that kind of was a motivator for us, because we looked at, you know, we knew our strategy was working, and it kind of built up a little confidence for us. And so, you know, that's something that I liked about the game, is that, you know, it taught us how to be collaborative as a team. You know, it brought us all together. I'll say one thing that we all, you know, were able to learn was, like that was said earlier, is we learned about the mutual funds and how those all come together with a bunch of companies that have different investments, and you can come and purchase that mutual fund. Something that we learned was we learned how to look at the mutual funds and look at what was trending. We looked at the long run. We looked at what was, you know, the 52-week high, what was the 52-week low. And that kind of just that led us to be able to make a profit in the end. So, you know, we are all glad about that. And so we just, once again, speaking from everybody from my team, we just want to say thank you for the opportunity once again, and we really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, Noah, and good luck. Good luck in Madison.
All right. Thank you so very much for that, Ione. And as you were listening and talking to the audience now, this was a part of a stock market game that was hosted during the summer by our organization. Ione is going to talk a little bit more about that. But before we do that, just want to remind those of you that may have just come on, we're volunteers with Better Investing. We're not stockbrokers. We're not recommending any stock. We are not day traders. You know, we're not selling you anything. Ione and I, and many of us, are just volunteers who decided to come together and create this platform and program called My Investing Story. Everybody has an investing story, and we just believe that as we are more educated, all of us, on the power of investing and the fact that you can invest as simple as $20, $10, and on some platforms you can do less than that. The point is start right now, right where you are. And I'm going to introduce share with you a little about our guest, and then Ione is going to go ahead and start with interviewing our special guest tonight. Mr. Sunless Martin Jr. is the co-founder and development manager of Collaborative Consulting Group with over 10 years of experience. Sunless has an MBA from Nova University. He also has a Bachelor of Science degree from my alma mater in finance at Fort Memorial University. Sunless is also a former president of the Haitian American Surrogate and a lifetime donor to the Beacon School in Freeport, Grand Bahamas. He's also founded a tri-county workshop presented by Wells Fargo and Wells Fargo Bank. I'm going to stop there, tell you a little bit more about him later, but right now I want to welcome to the show none other than my co-host, Ione McNeil. Good evening, Ione.
Good evening, and thank you. I wanted to take that quick minute to really just show by their own words, both the advisor and the student, and how impactful the stock market game experience was for them. So with that being said, I hope everybody was inspired by that little bit of clip. So, Sunless, what's going on, man?
Well, how you doing, Ione?
Good. I'm going to take you back, because that young man that we heard from, Mr. Noah Cotton, he's probably only a few years younger than when you actually first heard about Better Investing, right?
Yes. And I actually traveled as well.
You traveled?
Yeah, I traveled. I don't remember what city. I believe it was Ohio. I was with Ms. McNeil, the group of us in Florida Memorial.
Okay.
And I had the experience. It was actually a workshop that our investment held. I believe it was Ohio.
Ah, okay. So let's. I usually start the show with one question, but I'm actually going to start it with, when was your first time actually coming into the knowledge and awareness of better investing?
When I was a student at the Florida Memorial back in 2005, 2006, I met Ms. Ann McNeil. She was at the school quite a bit. She, if I'm not mistaken, she sat on the board of Florida Memorial, and we just kind of connected because I was in the business school. I know she did a CPA. She did her degree there. We sort of connected. And from connected, I mean, it was a group of us that she always invited over, and she just started educating us and just advocating for the actual organization and encouraged us to sort of get around, come around. We came around. We learned about the organization and then we was attending different workshops and different events that the organization held and just grew our knowledge from there. So I kind of heard about it back in 2005, 2006, to be exact.
Even recently, I was looking for some old documentation from the chapter because I'm the vice president of the South Florida chapter of Better Investing. And I saw your name on the rolls as a volunteer.
And I actually...
So you got in it all the way, became a member, started volunteering, listening, learning, coming to the classes. Now, the first story I want you to tell everybody is about, it hasn't even been a month yet, maybe 3 weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, when you called us, you got reengaged. I want you to tell the people what recent experience you had, the line of work you do, and then the recent experience you had that gave you that wake-up call about 10 years later, 15 years later, after you first came into the awareness of better investing.
When I first learned about better investing, I kind of drifted away. Not sure, I can't even say why, what happened. Life got in the way, kind of drifted away. And so I do a lot of work in politics when it comes to different candidates. And so I take the time out to review campaign reports, see who's giving contributions, looking at the different candidates' financial disclosures. And it was a trend that I noticed while I was doing that. And the trend was most of the officials that I was supporting or I wanted to learn more of, they had a pretty significant amount of net worth. I would say 75% to 80% of their net worth was invested in stocks. Stocks, mutual funds, but somewhere along the lines of the market. So once I've seen that, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm doing something a bit backwards, you know? I've always knew about this, and I never really stayed consistent at it. And so once that happened, I went online immediately, went to Better Investing, see whatever courses that they had, and I actually reserved for the courses. They had the board meeting, and I said, okay, let me sit in. Now I'm a bit more wiser and older. When I commit to something, I said, okay, you know what, I'll stick through it. So when that kind of happened, when I noticed that, that was that light bulb, like, you know what, this is what you need to do, and you need to focus on, understand it, and at the very least, do what you can when you can, but just stay consistent at it.
Right. Now, also tell the part of the story where, you know, these other candidates you were looking at were going along this other path of real estate investing, which is actually what you had been doing for the past couple of years. And when you found that this other candidate, you know, had this stock portfolio and the lifestyle was different, you know, that caused a shift too.
Right. Because with the real estate, with the maintenance and the upkeep, it's quite a bit. It's a lot of wear and tear on me. And so I was just going, you know, I was always taught, you know, get real estate, get renters, get tenants, you know, you kind of do that. But when I, again, when I analyzed the financial reports of the actual candidate that was running, when I see, I mean, some of them was worth, you know, a significant amount of money, but most of their money was in stocks and bonds. They had one real estate, and the rest, most of their money was in stocks and bonds. So that had me to think, wherever I'm at, I can invest in stocks and bonds, and at the click of a button, I can get my money back, wherever. Versus on the real estate side, you know, it takes a lot more time. You know, a given transaction, about 60 days. So.
Excellent. Well, let's take you back to your humble beginning.
Well, Ione, before you go back to his humble beginning, I just want to add something that he just helped me with. And I want to share this. I want to make sure everybody who's listening consider this. Ione played a clip from a group of kids from the stock market game for this summer. And I think Ione was a total of, what, 200 or 300 kids? 80 kids. With 80 kids plus the adults. And those kids range age from, what would you say, Ione, what age range? Maybe?
Elementary to college.
Okay, elementary to college age kids. Sitting here from this listening to you, and when I met you at Florida Memorial as a freshman, you were how old, 20 maybe?
About 19, 20, give or take,
19 or 20 years old when I met you. Now, that was 10 years ago. 10 years ago.
Correct.
Now, Ione, what age were you when you started investing?
Really, that was 15 years ago.
Okay, 15 years ago. 15 years ago for Sunless. I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt. How old were you, Ione? How old were you?
15.
You were 15 when you started investing?
Oh, no, 15 years ago.
Okay, when Ione started investing, she was 9. I didn't know the answer to that question. Now, this is the point I want to make to the listeners. What if we had not planted the seed in Ione and in Sunday? He would have had nothing to come back to in terms of a reference. You see, what we're doing is planting seeds in the minds of adults and their families and the children. And so often we say, oh, they're too young. When they're old enough to come to you and say, I want to buy blank, they can learn how to get a piggy bank and put those coins in the piggy bank. That's how Ione started. When they're old enough to say, I want to drive and I want to get a job, they're old enough to learn how to buy one share of stock and at least expose them. That's all we did with Sunday and a group of kids. And so I just wanted to just share that, Ione, as we move on to talk about his story, because I think it's very important that our listeners understand you have family members that you can expose to this information. It is not difficult. Actually, plant the seed. Everything is online now. You can go to betinvesting.org, and you can connect with online classes, and you can help your child have a better future than you have maybe had when you were younger, but you can do the same yourself. I just wanted to share that, Ione, because Sonnet, you just helped me today to really encourage me to focus more on educating the youth in terms of just making this information available. So thank you. Okay, Ione, back to you, please.
And Ione, if I could add one more thing I forgot to mention. I didn't completely stop. I held on to the concept that I learned, that I got exposed to. And from there to today, I still every month invest $400 into a Roth IRA account. And it became very helpful. The return wasn't much, but I made sure I created a habit in doing that every single month on the 15th. So for this last piece of property, that came in real handy at the time. And so I made sure I consistently kept doing that.
Awesome. Thank you. You just blessed me. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point, Summers, because what I realized too, my strategy, tomorrow I officially start my position as a national board member, a board director for Better Investing. And my intent is going back to what was Better Investing doing and providing and sending me as a child that made me interested. And at the time, they had a newsletter published by Amy Rauch Nelson, who has since passed, and also Doug Gerlach, who is still there. And the newsletter is called Young Money Matters. And it was just a four-page, really a two-page front and back newsletter sent out, I believe, quarterly. But it only featured kids, and it was read by kids. And all of the stories were really just about kids saying how important investing is, talking about compound interest, time value of money, what they were going to buy, how their portfolio is, what they intended to, invest in. And going back and remembering, as a kid reading these stories of other kids, like listening to this clip of Noah being a kid and seeing other kids being investors. And again, I didn't really see race at that time, but I just saw other kids investing and I saw it inspiring. And consequently, I made a choice like, oh, I'm going to do that. And one of the things I realized is that going back to the planting of the seeds, a lot of times, at least from my perspective, you have to plan for what the church would call backsliding. And in my head, I'm planning for 10 to 15 years of backsliding. Your story is really you got interested, you got exposed to better investing, you got exposed to investing in 2005, and you were all in. And then you took this period of, let me go see other things. But the important part about being exposed early and getting quality of education is that you developed a certain habit, no difference in me, right? When I got exposed, I developed that same max out my Roth IRA habit, and it really has taken me about 15 years to kind of come back and begin to get active in better investing and start to study more and be interested in individual stocks and other things like that. But, like you said, that 15 years of consistently investing in that Roth IRA has provided you the capital to not just be comfortable with retirement and confident that you're doing something toward retirement, but it provided you with the capital to make some other moves, in real estate and other things like that. And so I think that not just the exposure of this information, but also the action of it, it really does provide options for us. One of the things that I know in starting my Roth IRA was that I could take the money out if I wanted to be a first-time home buyer at no penalty of myself. You know what I'm saying? And so those are the things that when you start to get around this information, you think you're headed one way and you don't realize that one thing has just really opened up five different doors for you. So I just wanted to share that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And congratulations on the board appointment.
Oh, thank you.
You are.
So we'll take it all the way back to what island were you born and raised in?
Originally Freeport, Grand Bahama. Came over here, did school, and then went to Florida Memorial from there. Just kept going. I had a car wash. One of the first businesses I owned was detailing cars.
Right.
And from there, just kept trying different things. Kept trying different things till I find something to stick.
So even as a kid in Grand Bahama, Freeport, how was your relationship with money? Do you have any money memories of, was there discussion in the house about it? Were you eager to work as early as possible? What was your early relationship with money?
I didn't have a strong relationship with money, but I know the importance of, at least having the savings. Don't spend live on less than you can, and don't never exceed, your lifestyle. And so it was always, if you make $100, put $10 back, $20 back, whatever the case may be, you understand? So don't spend everything you make. So it was always installed in me, sort of growing up.
One of the things that I remember most about you when we met through my sister is that you were always entrepreneurial. Not only did you have the the car detailing business, but you had other businesses. What kind of sparked your entrepreneurial spirit? And then how did you kind of translate that, and how is it different from an investor kind of mindset? How is it the same, and how would you describe it to be different?
Okay. What sparked that interest? I used to be in a house, single-parent household with my mother. So just work around the clock, two jobs. You know, I'm like, you know what, if I could help it, you know, I'm going to do the best I can not to do that, you know. I want to work real hard, but, you know, I mean, of course, just not around the clock. You know, I want to work smart. How do I do that? You know, I was always told, go to school, get you a degree, get you a good job. I said, well, you know what, let me try the opposite. Let me go to school, get a degree, let me try to venture out. Very little capital, but let me try to venture out and sort of see what happens. And at the time, the biggest contract I landed was with the city of Miramar, because we was doing all the city cars and the police cars, all the different cars. But the one issue I ran into, turnover was very high because I wasn't paying those guys much, about 40, 50 bucks a day. So the turnover was high. So long story short, just kept advancing and kept trying different things. And as I'm trying different things, of course, I go back, analyze it, what worked, what didn't work. And once I kind of see that, my goal is don't make the same mistake you've made prior. At least try to improve upon each mistake that you've made. And so that has been a big factor of me. And then another thing I've always said, you know, if I can work for someone and I have no problem doing that, how do I work for myself a little more harder? Then I'm actually sort of doing that. So you could just do both and just work smarter at the same token. And so when I was introduced to the whole investing, so now I'm like, okay, so it's a way to make your money work for you. So how do you do that? So just it's all about gathering the education and the knowledge. And once you gather that, how do you apply that? You know, and it takes just small chunks, just applying, you know, one bit at a time, you know, one step at a time. You know, you don't move too fast. I don't look at the person to the left or the right, stay in my own lane and do the best I can with what I have. And eventually, if you stay consistent, you will achieve the goals that you kind of, you know, set out.
I almost don't want to ask a question because I mean, I almost feel like we could end the show just on that. I think everything you said is just so spot on. In fact, and I'm going to selfishly ask this question, what are some of the lessons learned from entrepreneurship? Because I really want to hear your perspective in this, because you're a serial entrepreneur. You've had many businesses. You're also an investor. You also have kind of a regular job, but you're always having an entrepreneurial mindset. You're learning in every situation that you're in. And I don't know many entrepreneurs like that. Many entrepreneurs that I hear, or many people I hear want to be entrepreneurs, they just say, oh, I want to be my own boss. And I'm like, that's a red flag, because if you don't recognize that your consumer is your boss or your customer is your boss, you know, you may not make it. So just kind of share with us some of your lessons learned as an entrepreneur, and how you've been wising up, you know, situation after situation, venture after venture.
Well, one of the things I think is very, very important, just to sit down and really observe. I do a lot of observation. I observe. And once you observe, make sure you sort of take something back. About 15 years ago, Ms. McNeil pulled me to the corner. She taught me this, and I never forgot it. And I actually told this to John the other day when I was having lunch with him. She goes, always have a card on you, which I don't never carry cards anymore. But she said, always ask for a card, keep the card so you have the control in terms of following up and reaching out to that person. So I can literally paint myself as a kind of a veteran when it comes to developing rapport. Because if I meet you, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to consistently follow up and try to add value. So that's one of the things. And not want nothing in return, you know, because every relationship I have, I don't always benefit from it, whether it's materially. Every relationship is very different. But the key is to keep gaining new relationships. And so that's one of the things I've actually learned. Another thing I learned is I consider myself my greatest competition. So normally any and everybody around me, extremely smarter than me. and I always try to learn from them because we all can learn from one another. So I always under-promise, over-perform, and build very good rapport. I'm always thinking, how could I help and how could I add value? I think that's very important, you know, for any and all of us. How could you sort of add value? And another thing what I do is I always try to take the time out and, you know, just kind of listen. Reading, I don't read as much, but I listen to the audio books and I listen to the TED Talk, and I get very inspired by that. And another thing I've actually done when it comes to different leaders, you know, politics is one of those things that whether you want to get engaged in it or not, it's going to affect you regardless. So in that same breath, I do the best I can just to observe it, learn it, and see how could I make it work to the best of my interest. And so I just go ahead and just keep learning, and that's any and everywhere I go because everything rises and falls off policy, everything, everything. And so once you kind of understand how the policy works, whether it's the local level, state level, federal level, and then you can kind of shape the life that you kind of want to live, the quality of life that you want to live. So I kind of learn from each of those different scenarios I just kind of spoke on, and I consistently keep learning.
Excellent. Ms. Ann?
Yes, I'm a little speechless. I didn't plan this. So for those of you that know, I love to talk. I have very little space in chat. So listen, I've hired over 100 interns in our small company, MCO Construction, and I will tell you, this is a first for me to hear you share the impact that we have had. And for all of you that's listening, this was not planned in terms of this program and this show, but I think that it is a testament of service above self. And the seeds that we plant, because he's now doing the exact same thing with other young people that's happened for him. And so that is really what this My Investing Story is about, because the other thing that you're teaching us is that giving really the best investing story. When you give yourself, you give your time, you give your talents, and then you give the education to help people understand how to make money. And that is why we created this show. I just want to remind those that may have just come on that we're talking about My Investing Story. We're talking to Sunless Martin, and we're all volunteers with Better Investing. We talked earlier about the fact that this organization is a not-for-profit 501c3 organization that's helped over 5 million people learn how to invest, basically with investment education. And a little bit more about Sunless. He's a phenomenal individual. He's talking about a lot of the things that he's doing. But as a graduate of Florida Memorial University, he's Bahamian, as you can see. And I think he has some other family references in addition to being Bahamian, if I'm not, my memory serves me correctly.
Yes, grandparents from Haiti on both sides, so I speak that proud as well, yes.
Okay, Haitian and Bahamian, and just a good spirit. So, Ione, turn it back over to you. I also want to encourage our listeners, if you have any questions, please put your questions in the chat, and if you're joining us for the very first time, we want to welcome you. If it's more than that, we want to also encourage you, put your information in the chat. If you'd like to connect, you have questions, because we usually do a shout-out, and I know Ione has a special shout-out this week that she's going to share. And, Sunless, I'm going to turn the table, if I may, and find out from you, do you have any questions of us or of our listeners?
You know, as you no questions, but just want to just consistently just sort of give credit where credit is due. Just kind of thank you, you know, for the time and the knowledge, and you know that you kind of installed in me, and different individuals sort of coming up. You just never know where the path will sort of lead, you know. Sort of come, you know, because like I said, we don't speak every day, but when I do speak to you, see you, it's like, you know, we haven't missed a beat. So as I sit back and kind of, you know, think about that, just want to just sort of take the time out, you know, and just sort of just thank you for, you know, I mean, going back for 15, you know, years or so back. So that's kind of what I wanted to add.
Well, this is a very different show today. And to all of those who are following us, just hang in here. But Ione is going to share with you some of the – thank you so much for that fun list. I'm attempting not to be too emotional for the world to see, but I know that as we plant the seeds and we water them, and if they're willing to be pruned as they grow, you're excellent testament of what happens. I can't believe it's 15 years. Wow, I think our clothes are getting older, but back to you, Ione.
So before I get back to you, Summers, I'm just going to read today's shout-out. And so today's shout-out goes to my girl, Shamika, who sent me a great text who I'm actually going to read. She was saying, hey, Ione, I was listening to your podcast this morning with Mark Shug, who was our guest 2 weeks ago. And towards the end of it, she wanted to it mentioned to report back the steps and the actions taken from listening to the podcast, right? So she said, after your first class on September 19th, which is the beginner investor class hosted by Better Investing South Florida chapter, she increased her retirement contribution. So I'm going to do a little hand clap for Shamika for increasing her retirement contribution. And she officially became a Better Investing member, paid member yesterday. So she said, I'm already taking what I'm learning from the class and applying it real time with the investment club that she's visiting. So shout out to Shamika for two great positive actions toward her in investment education. You're actually also in the beginner investor class. So we got shut down before we went live. But tell the people a little bit about what you've been learning in the class and how it's probably been a refresher for you or some things that may popped out as new.
With the class, I've learned quite a bit, and it's some of it has been a refresher, some of it has been new. Just the importance of not getting scared when you look at all those numbers, you know, because you exactly tailor what to kind of look for, the earnings per share, the stock price, you know, and just not being afraid because it easily can be intimidated just looking at those numbers. And once you do that, when I leave the class, I'm so much inspired with every day. I look at a two-hour clip again on Facebook, and I go through the same steps, and I go back and try to teach it to somebody to make sure that I kind of learn it. And so now I'm always, okay, value lies. So I go online, you know, sort of look at it, financials. So it's been a blessing, you know, just that refresher to do it. So I really enjoy the class, and I'm looking forward to continue consistently growing and staying consistent this time, you know, most important.
Well, that's excellent. That's excellent. My next question is really about, you already spoke to how you've been investing regularly. What are your ultimate goals as an investor? Could you share that if you know what they are?
My ultimate goal, I would say, to have a portfolio, as I mentioned when we first started, around 68% to 78% invested in stock. That's the ultimate goal. And the second one is how do I pay it forward? Start inside the home. I've already started inviting my little brother, you know. I've invited him to it, but again, whenever, you know, it kind of sticks here, sort of get it. You know, I've invited some of my friends in the Bahamas, you know, I kind of send it to them, spreading the word. Because something as good as this, you know, I don't want to sort of keep it to myself. Because, of course, I like anybody around me to learn it, implement it, take advantage of it, and just see where the road leads you, because all of us are different. So, ultimately, it's to be an advocate for it, you know, from here on out.
Well, that's excellent. The next question I had really ties into that. Do you have a financial vision for yourself and your family, you know, especially being
a reinvigorated investor?
When you say that in terms of numbers-wise?
Numbers-wise, qualitative-wise, you know, lifestyle-wise. I just want to, however it naturally comes to you.
Yeah, like I said, you know, 68 to 78%, I would love to own in terms of stocks. How do I get there? Consistently investing on a month-to-month basis. Whatever I can sort of increase, or when I can sort of increase that amount monthly, consistently do that. You know, I'm very looking forward to being a part of one of the investment clubs. I have on the agenda to attend the model club meeting. And again, I've already started looking at and reading and just doing a lot of due diligence. Because as we both know, whatever we put in, we're going to get out. So, you know, so at this point, you know, I'm all in.
Well, that's what's up. One of the questions I kind of like to close on, not yet, but I'm really thinking, because you're an audiobook man, so is there a number one book on, and for you, I'm going to say number one book on investing and or entrepreneurship that's kind of really impact you, whether it may be recent, it may be old, but just wanted to kind of share that resource for the listeners.
It's not investing, but it's one that I highly kind of live my life by, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective Leaders by Stephen Covey. You know, and I mean, it's just seven principles that he kind of shared that really you may not do all seven right or may not do all seven, but if you do a few of those, you will certainly could observe and witness the effectiveness and efficiency in whatever it is you do. So that's been a very good book that I always go back to and look at, you know, those seven habits of highly effective leaders. I really enjoy that book.
Excellent. And my last question for you really is, what is the number one thing that you would recommend to a new investor to get started?
Number one, I would certainly share the importance of, you know, creating a budget. And once you create a budget, it's like paying any other bill. You put a certain amount of money aside every month. You intentionally do that because you have to be intentional about whatever it is you do, because if you're not, it won't last. Stay consistent and be intentional, and you'll be able to reap the fruits of your labor.
I like that. Stay consistent, be intentional. Those two things, man, you just really made me, like, think back to, you know, whether it's saving, whether it's investing, whether it's keeping and maintaining a friendship, being married, you know, it really does tie in together, you know. In order to be consistent, you have to be intentional.
Right.
And all that being said, it has to be a priority for you.
That's correct.
What I usually say, which is backwards, is, nobody ever has to tell you what's a priority for them. You just watch them.
Correct.
You know, see where they spend their time, see where they spend their energy, and that shows you, you know, like you're saying, what their intentions are, where their priorities are, and watch them be consistent in whatever it is, and that really just tells you the story of their life. So, Sunless Man, I'm glad we had you on, man.
Oh, absolutely. No, I appreciate it.
I'm still looking up to you, man.
I appreciate it. You know, it's an honor to be on this podcast and sort of share the story. And just to sit back and just reflect, you know, it's definitely very nice and very gratifying, to say the least.
Yeah, I'm gonna share some resources with you. I was listening to the Mid-Michigan chapter of Better Investing. They do a investing roundtable every fourth Tuesday, and it's live. And then once it finishes, they upload it on YouTube. So anybody that's interested, you can just go to YouTube and search for Manifest Investing. And yeah, I'm going to share that with you, because I think, you know, your consistency in listening to this podcast and coming to our beginner class and coming to our model club meetings and just really getting re-engaged in better investing, I mean, I'm also getting reengaged. You know, I know I host things and I have things that I'm responsible for the South Florida chapter, but I'm attending the North Florida chapter's activities. I'm attending Mid-Michigan's activities because those investors are 20, 25, 30 years plus, and they are, you know, teaching me some things and reminding me of some things and even make me a better investor so that then I can kind of bring this information to you. But I am totally inspired. I'm totally inspired. And I feel very blessed and grateful to be a part of the Better Investing community because the resources and the knowledge base of the members here, you know, and the volunteers, I mean, you know, I had a question from somebody asking about, you know, how do I, you know, decipher what's noise and what's real information? And I would just say, number one, get tuned into Better Investing because, you know, they teach you how to sort through and find the facts. You know, no comment, no analyst report necessary. You know, you can do your own estimation and analysis and learn how to do your own analysis just based on facts, just based on, you know, income statement, balance sheet, projections, all of that. So I'm really glad that you've come back into the fold. I'm really glad that you're back, you know, being a part of South Florida Chapter and being in my class. I'm excited.
Ione, can we share the link, Michelle and Ione, can we share the link for those who are listening in case some of our listeners may want to participate in the class or the Model Investing Club? And also, we want to remind everybody that we are also planning our financial empowerment seminar, which will be in Texas next year. It was supposed to be in 2020, but of course, COVID happened and we did it online. So I really want to start as a takeaway, start talking about that, because it would be great, assuming that things are a part of the new normal by next summer. I think it's in May, if I'm not mistaken, but we will be going to Texas and we will be taking the group with us because we really want to make this into a family event where people are comfortable in bringing their families. And if you say, look, I'm not going anywhere, then we will see you online because as Ione's saying now, all of this has been flattened. You know, the book, The World is Flat. With these platforms, Zoom and all these other platforms now, they are allowing you to go anywhere in the world while right at home. So taking into consideration what Summit is saying, he's going back and he's reviewing the information. We do post this live. This is streaming live right now inside of our Better Investing Facebook group. Please join the group. Also, please follow us on all of the social media at Better Investing, Instagram. Please join us on Instagram, join us on YouTube, join us on, subscribe to the YouTube channel, join us on Facebook. If you put in Better Investing, you can connect with the Better Investing group in your area, or you can join us. We will be glad to have you, but also consider becoming a member. What I'd like to do, Ione, each week we host this show, it would be great to give a shout-out to people like Ms. Yes, I'm going to call your name. Let Ione call your name. One of our volunteers, actually two of our volunteers for this program, has made some new commitments and some investments because of listening to these shows. So we really want to encourage people to become a member and get involved for your own financial future. Before we wrap up, we have a couple of minutes left. I'd like to challenge any of our we have people who are coming on every single week. And I'd like to challenge them if they'd like to come and make any kind of comments or even ask Summit a question, we can bring them on. I know some of your favorite people are sitting here in the participants, Ms. Williams, Ms. Denise, Laura, Felicia, Marquita.
And while you're doing shout-outs, I do want to there's a listener that has a question, Summit. And so that question is, what has been your biggest challenge as an entrepreneur?
Well, the biggest challenge is failure. You know, you always think about it. You're always afraid of it, and it's always right there in front of you. And so I have a saying that I normally tell myself. I'm up every morning about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I do that. Basically, the thought of quality alone gets me up 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, because, you know, if I can get up before everybody else, my brain just gets to start working and thinking, you know, I figure, okay, you know what, I have a head start. So I'm always up 4 o'clock in the morning, so my greatest obstacle or challenge has been the thought of failure. And not being afraid to fail and have failed and will continue failing, but just learning from it each day.
So your remedy to that challenge really is taking action.
Correct.
Stop thinking, planning, and acting.
I'd also like to add to that question a response on something that I heard on one of the YouTube channels, and it is the fact that failure, fear, all of these things are considered as optimization data. And when you consider it, just change the name of it, call it optimization data. And once you do that, it becomes data you can look at, you can analyze, you can take a pen and paper and actually write it out, and then begin to write out, like Ione said, the action you could take, because now you have data that basically talks about what has not worked, what will work differently. And when you think about Edison, 10,000 tries. 10,000, but he didn't quit. So thank you so very much for the question, and thank you, Silas, for your response, because, again, if we can reframe how we say it, we can reframe how we see it. And then once we reframe how we see it, and we see it as something positive, because remember that all things still work together for good. It's not some of them. And one of the philosophers said nothing is either good nor bad, but it's the thinking that makes it so. So when you see that, what you think is fear or failure, and you reframe it and just call it by a different name, optimization data, it's just data that you're going to optimize to do something better. Thank you.
But one other question we have from a listener is, did you have a lot of debt before you began your investing journey, and have you paid it off because of investing? And that's a good question, too, because I'm sure as an entrepreneur, you had to navigate debt in order to build your businesses.
Yeah, well, to date, I would say, I mean, the greatest debt I've had or have is with student loans. That is all, but that's been a good debt because it allowed me the knowledge, education. I've met great people, you know, to allow me to sort of fulfill those dreams. And as an entrepreneur, I mean, debt, you know, you can't get away from that, you know. It's just one of those things that, you know, you assume what the hopes or the intentions of sort of repaying that. So, yes, I do have some debt, and, you know, I think it's fairly decent, you know, but it's very manageable, to say the least. And so, again, it's just about prioritizing, you know. I have about 3 suits. I live very, very modest, and I just do the best I can. With debt or not, I've always put money aside and save money. So it's never or not a good time to sort of invest. Well, even with debt, you can still invest, you know. Just like I said, it's like paying yourself first. Whatever amount you can afford, you put that aside and consistently do that.
I think that's an excellent answer. Could you repeat that part? It's never not a good time to invest.
Right, correct. You want to start off wherever you're at, and even if you don't understand it, but you believe in the concept. So if you go around and hear enough people's testimony, you believe in the concept, take time out, whatever it is, you can start off with whatever amount. I'll let you sort of determine that amount, but you want to be just intentional and consistent. And once you do that, over time, you'll see it grow over time.
Excellent.
I just want to make a comment to Michelle. Michelle is and Doretha has been very helpful. And so Michelle and I, we do a debrief after every one of these shows. And every single week, Michelle says, "That was the best show ever." I said, "Michelle, you say that every week." So let me say it first. Son, this has been one of the best shows ever. And I say that because you're keeping it plain and you're keeping it simple, and anybody listening can understand, but also they can relate. You know, and that's why it's so important as we continue to host. And everybody, we really need your help. Hashtag my investing story. Like the show, share the show, and encourage your friends to come and join us every single Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time and listen in. And if you're listening and you'd like to be a guest on our show, let us know. Reach out to Ione, reach out to myself. You can Google us. You can find us at Better Investing in our Facebook group. We put our numbers everywhere. You know, we're easy to find. But reach out to us and let us know you're interested in sharing your story, because every story is important, even the stories Ione shared with the young people who were 16, 17, 18 years old. We opened the show with them talking about their investing story. And so it is just, I am, like I said, Sunless, I want to keep saying this, I am more inspired because you're one of the first people next to Ione that I invested in. It wasn't money, but I invested myself in you in time and energy, and like expecting absolutely nothing in return. So now here we are 15 years later for you to come back and give back. I cannot think of a better return on the investment of energy. See, because we can invest. That's what my lesson learned from this show today. We can invest energy and get a return off that investment. We're sitting here talking about investing money and getting a return, but energy is also compounded. Okay, and what you're giving back to us today is a return on the investment of energy that was invested in you over 15 years ago. And so, like I said, I am more encouraged to continue to do more and go back to Explore Memorial and continue. You know, as many of you may know, we take a group of kids for over 25 years now to Orlando to what's called the World Money Show. And we've never missed a year in taking kids. And we've gone so much that the owner and the founder of the World Money Show, now she is now, because of our efforts, she's now started a university, a kids university, for a money show university for kids. And so I just want to continue to encourage everybody, just do a little bit, like you said, right where you are. It doesn't have to be something big. You plant a seed and then you water it. That's all we're doing here today. So, Ione, I want to thank you also for being a very special person in my life. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. And I think that's about it. Sunless, if you want to have our last words as we prepare to wrap up.
I just want to thank everybody from Michelle to Ione to you, everybody that put this together that's in the background, this work, you know, that we may not know or may not see. Just want to just take the time out just to thank each and every one of you.
Thank you, John, Sarita, everybody, Laverne, everybody, girl. There's a lot of people that all of you don't see that help make this happen and allow us to be able to come on and share. And if you'd like to volunteer, we are also looking for volunteers, and we would be glad to help teach you as you learn, because there's nothing better than getting a return off the investment of your energy as you serve. And so with that, we're going to thank everybody. We're going to ask you again, please like the show. Please comment on your social media, and please also share the show. And also, when you come back next week, bring somebody with you. And with that, we're going to say good night, and we'll see you, like I always like to say, tomorrow. All right. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you, Sunless.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Goodbye.